Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Great to be with you on a Saturday afternoon. Manly and the Gold Coast Lotto Land. That is where we're heading for the 3 o'clock kickoff right now. Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, my name is Tony Squires, and Peter Sterling, as ever, joins us. Sterling, g'day.
Hello, Tony, Em, Brownie, and listeners. I didn't get the memo, obviously. I'm assuming there is a Triple M trip away at the end of this little get-together to Nimbin or to Hawaii or somewhere.
Wow.
Well, I'm just looking at Nathan Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Sterling's having a go at me about my dressing.
No, mate, I'm not having a go.
You look summery.
What's the cheesecloth?
Summery.
Very happy. Very happy. Been up at the Newcastle Cup, Sterling. My great mate, Jared O'Doherty from Reward Hospitality, catered from Yeti's table with
you
a lot of his clients.
So good.
How about yours and Dell with the plugs?
Mate, I've got to give him a plug.
Of course you do.
One of the night's finest.
Well, you just did.
How long is this race meeting? Were you there for a couple of days? Or?
Oh, we got up there on... what day did we get there? We got there on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. And
that's a good sign. What day did we get there?
Had a little bit of lunch.
Then yesterday
went to the races, yeah. And it was an enjoyable day.
I asked him what won the main race. He couldn't tell me. What won the Cameron? No idea.
I'm not that really. I just said it. So I could have backed the winner, but I wouldn't know what race was race. I just had a few bets and a laugh.
Whereas you know the name of the race.
I can tell you what ran second, third, fourth through to eighth, what price they started and how many lengths they got beaten by.
And how much you lost on each of them.
That's your experience, Tony.
Exactly. It is women in league round, Sterlo. We've been talking a little bit earlier about the women who have been influential and incredibly helpful in many of these players' lives. What about you?
I guess like everybody, my mum, even though I lost my mum when I was 9, but I still remember her ironing my footy gear, ironing my jersey and my shorts.
Wow, love it.
Which I thought was great. They didn't stay that way for long. And then obviously, I guess various partners through my life. When I was playing, I was rather pedantic, the way I prepared myself for games and that too, I'd have been a horror to live with and that, but they put up with that and gave me the environment to be the best I could be type thing, sometimes sacrificing themselves. I guess the big thing I've seen of late is the people I've worked with, like Emma alongside me here and at Channel 9 working alongside Erin Molan and Danica Mason and Alana Ferguson, Ruan Sims, obviously the Fox girls. I remember Debbie Spillane was probably the pioneer back in all of those days, and she must have gone through some really difficult times because she was so different to what players were used to and probably were accepting of. So to see the ladies come through in that side of the thing, and they all know their stuff, and there's no tokenism anymore at all. They're there on merit because they know the game and love the game like we all do. But everyone in between as well. When I was playing junior footy, it was all the volunteers and that just made, you just lobbed up and played footy and everything was done for you.
I think that's a good point, really recognising how tough it was, going back 20, 30 years ago, the likes of Deb Spillane, even someone like Margie McDonald, who's now at NRL.com. She spent many years at The Australian as well. And often when it comes around to women in league round, I think, I stop and think, do we need it? There are lots of women now. We're just part of the game. Do you need to acknowledge it? But I think it's more about recognising where we came from. And it wasn't always like that. So you sort of take for granted, I think, absolutely, we're just part of the game. But it wasn't always like that for ladies like Margie. And even
I'll throw Rebecca Wilson's name in there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even I did a story during the week for Channel 10, actually, with the first ever accredited female rugby league referee, Deirdre Ray, her name was. She got the accreditation in 1969, and Belinda Sharp came and surprised her. So it was a nice little colour story, but basically she was only allowed to ref social games, schoolboys games, and everyone was pushing for her to go to higher levels, but she got the documentation and she still had it on her. And it said, because the people who run the game think it's no place for a woman. And that was in 1969. So I know we've changed a lot since then, but she wanted to push. And she said, I would have given anything to to ref first grade, you know. So it hasn't always been like it is now, which I think it's important to recognise those.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Can I just go back? My takeout from that, and I need to dig a bit deeper, Sterlo, is your pedantic preparation for a game. Just talk me through what was so difficult for you or for those around you.
Well, don't get on my nerves. It was just I had a mindset, you know, and I probably wasn't easy to be around. I guess it sort of went into myself a little bit, so I probably wasn't particularly outgoing and socially, I didn't like to go out before games at all, and I just had a set routine, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And you needed a knife-edge crease in your shorts as well.
I actually iron my dry cleaning when I pick it up. I think I was banned from at some stage from using Fabulon because I was putting a hole in the ozone layer. I would go through cans of it. I will always have creases in my sleeves that will cut you. So yeah, so that's the anomaly, I suppose. Like Selena, my wife now, she's out in the garden. She's doing all the handyman stuff. But if you need your ironing done,
still, I like that. I quite like ironing.
Do you iron, Tony?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I find it relaxing, Emma. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I just, you know, Kate often just throws the washing into the.
I'm not sure how we got here, but I was difficult to live with, Tony.
Of course you were.
Something like you are.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing has changed. All right, well, the Eels got that win they were searching for. They also started by the back end scoring some tries. They began the game a little bit impatient to do that, given they hadn't been able to cross the line for consistently anyway. And what did you take away from it?
No, it's a crucial win. It was a must-win game. So that was the most important thing, to get the 2 points. And again next week to secure that top four spot. And I thought there were flashes in there of when you looked at it, you thought, yep, that's what you did really well in the first half of the season especially, and that's, you know, what can be successful against the good sides in that last month. But then we went away from it and maybe found our way back to it at times. So I thought there were some real learning things out of that game. This is against a side that had lost 13 straight. Yep. Bottom of the ladder, they lost their starting 5-8 after 58 seconds and their most damaging player a minute and a half into the second half. So, yeah, there were some advantages that went Parramatta's way. And they did score 5 tries, but, there were just parts of the game where you thought that they really got it right and they found a bit of rhythm and they tried to go through the middle. And when you go through the middle, that's when Sivo and Ferguson will score tries. It's not the other way around. But we just... we didn't nail it. In the second half, Jay Field scores a runaway try, which was pretty much against the run of play that wrapped things up. So the more you delve into the game, the more you find in it. But most importantly, it was a win, and they scored some points.
Where do we have it then? We know we've known the eight for a week now. We kind of know the makeup of the top four. Gerds earlier basically said that the Raiders could come from fifth and contribute, in fact, could threaten. Let's just go fearless prediction. Can anybody come from outside the top four? I know Searle doesn't think that's a possibility.
I would have thought Canberra, the way Canberra are playing, if they can keep their players on the field, they've had some really long-term injuries, haven't they? They can keep, you know, the best part of their squad fit. The way they're playing, I don't see why they can't win a couple of finals games and make some noise.
And with the Panthers getting that minor premiership, they're finishing on top. Does that game transfer? Are they the guys?
I think absolutely. You can only go on what you've seen. And I don't think that a lack of experience in regards to finals football is going to hurt that club. They're on a roll. They're loving what they're doing. They're exuberant the way they play their football. And they play a great brand of football. They play with such energy and athleticism and enthusiasm. And that carries you a long way. Just going back to Canberra, if there was to be a team that could actually create history and win from outside the top four in the NRL era, it is this Canberra Raiders side. So I don't think that you can win out of the top four, but if it does happen, it could be the Raiders.
Yeah, they're building, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's a great effort from the Panthers in regards to, you know, you go back and it's reported in the papers today that since 2013, it has either only been Melbourne or the Roosters who have been minor premiers. So the new kids in town deserve to be getting the plaudits and to be right up there in premiership conversation because they've arrived.
If you had to pick your grand final today,
if I had to,
well, no, you have to. I'm putting you on the spot now. This is one of as Tony would say, question without notice.
Mm, even I didn't.
I'll go Roosters Melbourne. That will be my grand finalist because I had to pick it today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might change next week.
All right. We've got Brent Reed joins us next with Reedy's Mail. Stick around. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it for King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Stirlo, Brownie, M. Lawrence, Tony Squires with you, and it is time for this.
Read about it. Read about it.
Reedy's Mail.
That mail comes from the man himself, Brent Reed, who joins us. G'day, mate.
You there? How are you?
I'm very well. Are you playing footy?
Just pulling the car park. No, I'm not playing today. I've got to do the game.
You got dropped, eh?
That was two all.
His calves were too sore, he said.
They were struggling at two all without me, but, you know, hopefully they'll get there eventually. I mean, most of the teams we play are about 60 or 70 years old, so I'm sure they'll run out of steam at some point, the opposition.
All players,
70.
Yeah, there's a lot of them are struggling. To be fair, anyway, it's good fun smashing them each week.
you're not a good person, really, are you, Reedy? That's the bottom line. What's going on?
Both the kids' teams won. That was a good result. Anyway,
Don't worry, Reedy. In 10 years' time, you're going to be one of those people that's getting smashed. Enjoy while you can.
I'm pretty close to it now, Stella.
Yeah. Now, terrific relationship between the Broncos and the Storm. What's happening there?
Well, I mean, there's been all sorts of blues this year. Well, there's been blues over the history, hasn't there?
But
this year there's been, obviously Brisbane have approached the coach, Craig Bellamy. They've approached the captain, Cameron Smith. And now they've approached the CEO, Dave Donohue. I spoke to Matt Tripp, who's the chairman of the Melbourne Storm, not long ago. And to say he's ropeable would be an understatement. Basically, he's saying, you know, what's going on in Melbourne that they've bought it, basically to try and steal all our people. I mean, imitation's the greatest form of flattery until they try and steal everyone you've got, and then it becomes insulting. And I think Matt's particularly perturbed about this latest move. Dave Donohue's off contract at the end of this year, so he's a bit different to Craig. He's, a free agent in a couple of months. But, Melbourne have put a lot of effort into Dave. They gave him a chance, and I think they're a bit... disgusted that Brisbane would go behind their back and approach their CEO, particularly after they, sounded out the coach and sounded out the captain. So relations aren't all that good between the Storm and Broncos at this current time. They're not happy, not happy Melbourne, not happy at all.
So Dave Donohue, he's slipped ahead of Ben Eichen in that reckoning then?
Well, I think it's very early with Dave. I don't think, according to Matt, Dave just got a phone call late last week saying, look, would you be interested? Now, Ben's been through a process. He's had at least one, maybe two interviews, Ben Eichen. So Dave's a bit of a late participant to the party. I think Ben's still well and truly in the mix. I mean, they're down to a shortlist, and Ben's certainly on that. And look, I think Dave will end up staying in Melbourne. I'm not sure he'll leave, but, the fact he's now in the picture would suggest that they're obviously looking at their alternatives to the guys who are on that shortlist. But Ben's definitely still in the picture as well. Definitely still in the picture.
Reedy, what's the order to the appointment in regards to the boss and the coach? Which will come first and how much space will there be between those decisions?
Well, I would think the CEO should come first because they've got a board meeting on Monday night too, where they will basically decide which direction they'll go with the CEO. So that decision could come as early as Monday. And from what I'm told, Stella, they reckon about 10 days after that, they should have the coach. They've been talking about looking elsewhere, but it's a race in two. I think we all know that. It's down to Greeny and Kevy Walters, and one of those guys will get it. So I think they can knock that over pretty quickly. And look, they need to because, I did something during the week about clubs are already circling Katoni Staggs and Thomas Flegler, and they've got a lot of players who are available to talk to rival clubs from November 1. A lot of really good young players, Deer and Coates, guys they want to keep and build a club around. So they need to get the decision done so the CEO and the coach can have a say in the future of that playing squad.
Speaking of getting the decisions done, Cameron Smith still hasn't made that call?
No, and I reckon if we don't get it this week, I don't think we'll get it before the end of the season. I think that's the sense now. I think the likelihood is that it'll come in the next 7 days or so. You really don't want to have. Well, you don't want to have to guess with this one, do you?
Because we've got you on tape there, Reedy.
Well, I think I've said that about three times, Stella. So you can just play the tape from the last time I said it. But the sense I'm getting out of Melbourne is if they don't hear something this week from Cam, they don't think he'll do it during the final series because it would be an interruption. So I think we'll hear this week. But
does it matter now we're so close to the end? It's only a few weeks. Does it matter? Is there a great deal of difference in their planning between now and, you know, grand final day? Should they get that far?
Well, not really. No, it doesn't. It's not really. I mean, the only thing is, I suppose, if you do it now, Tony, it doesn't become a potential distraction during the final series where Cam and the players getting asked constantly, you know, is he going to retire? What's he going to do? I guess if you knock it over now, they're free to focus purely on finals footy. But you're right, it doesn't matter the Storm because they've got plan A, plan B. I think they're assuming, regardless of what happens, Cam won't be there next year. I think they think if Cam plays on, it won't be with them. So I think they 99% know what they're going to be doing in terms of their salary cap. They just don't know what it'll mean for Cam and whether maybe he'll be part of their coaching staff or an ambassador or whether he'll be at another club.
In terms of, he's going to be the story no matter what, even if the players are not getting asked, what's Cam doing? They'll be getting asked, you have to do it for Cam. You have to send Cam out on a good note. So regardless, I think he's going to dominate the headlines. But, I mean, the club did say, leave him alone, let him make his decision and be respectful. So have a bit of respect, Reedy, and just let him make his decision in peace.
Exactly. All right, now Brownie's here because he's interested if you've got any Warriors mail for him.
I love having a bit of Warriors mail in Brownie's. Oh, look, Jack Hetherington played last night for Penrith. He's been on loan at the Warriors. My understanding is he's got, I think, at least another year on his contract, but he's been given permission to look elsewhere. And as I understand, the Warriors have made an offer to Jack Hetherington. They're keen for him to come back on a permanent basis next year. They're obviously looking at Adam Fanua Blake as well. That would be the two of them. It wouldn't be one or the other. So Brownie could have potentially a new look front row there next year. And Jack Hetherington, who's a real firebrand, I think he's been really impressive this year, could be part of that.
Did you ask me a question? We didn't tell me something.
Actually, Brownie, in a couple of segments ago, we were talking about Penrith, and he said it's hard. They got so many great forwards, and you know, like Jack Hetherington, he was their best forward there for a while, and you know, his eyes lit up. And
I love how you know more than me. Anyway, Rudy, you must have some inside mail from someone.
I think we both know I don't know more than you, Brownie.
Brownie, can I ask you?
So many levels.
I wouldn't imagine that Todd would see it as being intrusive at all. Have you spoken to any of the Warriors players? Have you spoken to Roger or anybody?
Oh, I've only spoke to Roger just a week or two ago about his current situation.
Yep.
He's the only one I've spoken to at this stage, yeah.
Sorry, Reedy.
All right, Reedy. What about some Anthony Seibold news? What's that?
Yeah, look, obviously he went to the Queensland Police a while ago. He then went to the Integrity Unit and they were given a name or some documents. Well, the Integrity Unit advised him to go to the New South Wales Police. So he's Anthony Seibold's now gone to the New South Wales Police with some of the documentation, some of the evidence that the European cybercrime gurus uncovered. So it's across two states now, this issue. I'm not sure where it'll go. I don't think any of us know where it'll go, but the New South Wales Police are now been alerted to it as well. And we'll see how it develops.
All right, Reedy.
Reedy, I've got to... need to bring up the fact that Reedy, for some reason, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of tension between us because I went to Reedy's house to pick up the radio equipment coming down the driveway and I get turned away.
Yeah.
Turned away from Reedy's house. I said, I'm here to pick up the radio equipment.
By Reedy.
And his lovely wife said, sorry, no, wrong house.
My wife often turns away young women who come to
So I'm walking away and I'm thinking, I know that's Reedy's house, and I just got turned away.
She didn't recognise Em because she's only known you as a blonde, Em. You've gone, she said to me afterwards, when did Em go brunette? And I said, I don't know, recently, something.
So anyway. So you got turned away because you were a stranger, is that?
Because I said, oh, I'm just here to pick up the radio equipment. I should have said, said Reedy's house, right? And then, but I just got I just got rattled and thought, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm at the wrong house. Yeah. And then I'm sure that's it. And I walked away.
So the barbed wire didn't give it away.
then she hung around for about a half hour. I couldn't get rid of it. I had work to do.
Isn't there a letterbox at the front saying Reedy's mail?
No, he's got, as you go down the driveway, it's got the jingle, read about it, anytime someone crosses the driveway.
I might put that on a letterbox. That's brilliant.
Thank you. Reedy, as ever, great information. We'll catch up soon, buddy.
See you guys.
There is Brent Reed.
Great information. He's just told us that he's got no idea about Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
He's told us warrior stuff that even the new coach doesn't know about.
Yeah, but you've got to encourage them, these young people. We might come up with the goods 1 week. If you've got to download a new app today, go with one that will stay the distance. The betting choice is easy, Ladbrokes. Back yourself. Remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett, g'day, mate.
Hello, Tony.
All right, 3 o'clock, the Titans. Now, they can, I think, get to ninth. They're 12th at the moment if they get past the Seagulls at the Seagulls' home. Any chance, according to the punters?
Seagulls are the favourites here, Tony, at $1.53. But we have seen good money for the Titans. They've had a really good record against teams outside the top eight this season. They're into $2.65. I think they're one of the best value bets of the round.
And what about the Melbourne Storm up against, my sheet says the Titans, but I'm pretty sure it's the Tigers this afternoon.
Yes.
Tigers locked in that battle for ninth, Emma. They're $7.50 to get another 2 points. Punters aren't keen at all here. Melbourne Storm have been one of the best backsides of the round. They're into $1.11. They could start even shorter.
All right. Imagine fairly short the Roosters as well. They've got a top four spot with a win tonight against the Sharks. Where is the support?
Yeah, it just shows the quality of the Sydney Roosters that they're playing another side in the top eight. They're still $1.14 favourites. Really does show their quality. Cronulla Sharks have been friendless with punters all week long. They're out to $6.50. Punters very keen on the Roosters Storm double this afternoon.
Tom Hackett, thank you so much. If you've got to download a new app today, go with one that will stay the distance. The betting choice is easy. Ladbrokes, back yourself at gamble responsibly. And that, Nathan Brown, is where you leave us. Thanks again for a fantastic day. Coach's Corner was brilliant. All up, we'll see you very, very soon. Ryan Girdler joins us with a special guest, Maroon, next on the Saturday Scrum.
Bleak. Triple M footy. Woo! The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have your company. Less than half an hour to kick off. Manly taking on the Gold Coast Titans. A huge game, massive game, very, very important in the lives of many people. No more important than it is for one Anthony Maroon, who will be calling the game alongside Sturlo and Ryan Girdler, who also walks back into the studio. Maroon is with us. Hello, my friend.
How are you, Tone?
Very, very well. Look, before we get into this, I just want to play you one little moment from your fabulous show on Sundays.
Okay.
And just to set up how important today's game is, have a listen.
I tell you what, if they win five in a row, don't worry about breast implants. I'll get a sex change.
Yes. Very funny at the time, wasn't it? Now, the Titans have now won three in a row, going for four this afternoon against Manly. Mm. How are you feeling?
Well, it's a couple of ways I'm looking at it, Tone. Mm-hmm. If I do get a sex change... I'd like to look something like Emma because I think Emma's so beautiful.
That's good.
But my wife tells me that this is a very serious issue.
Yep.
I'm not taking it serious enough. Mm. So before I came into work today, I got online and learned a little bit about having an actual sex change.
Okay.
There's about 6 to 7 months worth of, counselling in it before you can even take the first step.
Fair enough.
And then is that by law? You have
to? Yeah, 100%. Then to get a proper sex change, you're going to have to... It's going to cost you about $350,000-$400,000, which I haven't got lying around.
No.
And I'm not going to get a cheap sex change because a good-looking rooster like me, somebody said to get a cheap one, it'd be like cutting the roof off a GT Falcon. You know, it just would be sacrilege. If you're going to do it, you've got to get it done properly.
Yeah, of course. Mm. Of course.
If you haven't just plucked those figures, have you? $300,000-$400,000.
Yeah.
That doesn't quite sound... correct.
Well,
it's outrageous.
How do you know?
Because we'll throw in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you can buy a boat for $1,000, can't you?
Yeah.
But if you know, if you're going to have a sex change, you're not going to have, you've got to get the ridgy didge.
Well, hang on. The sex change, only certain things need to be done. Like, it's not as though there are that many bells and whistles around.
Probably not a lot.
I think regardless, you should do the counselling for 6 months. That sounds like something you need terribly.
But in terms of bet welching...
Yeah.
Are you by nature a welcher on
absolutely
on a bet?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so we have a bet then. Not you and I, but you and the world.
Last week, last year, I should say, I put some bet on that I'd sing at the grand final, which I did. And it just got me wanting to sing again. I want to sing at this year's grand final, but COVID's put a hole in that idea.
Well, have you chosen your frock? Sing with a soprano voice.
Yes, I might be able to do a little Tina Arena number.
Put a hole? I mean, excuse the pun.
You know what? I think I think the boys on the Sunday show, they pick on you.
Yeah, they do.
You know what?
Yeah.
And I might even get the lady from HR, I might get her number up, might just give her a call and get them to check in every now and then, pull some of those boys into the office because I'm not really happy with the treatment of you in some of those weeks.
And that's the first time in 20 years here that somebody's actually stood up for me, and I love you very much, but I'm used to it. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
Well, Maroon, you are a man of your word, man of principle, and I know what, if 5 wins in a row for the Titans do eventuate, you will do the right thing because we have faith that you are that kind of individual. The other thing I'd like to just quickly mention, the shorts.
Yeah.
Did you put them on again this morning or were you unable to take them off last week and they're still...
These are a different pair. So I just in closing, I'll just say on the sex change.
Hey, Spicer, I'll tell you when it's closed.
Oh, sorry, Tone. But I would just say that the sex change thing might happen, yes, but it's like the Badgerys Creek Airport, mate. It's a lot of planning. There's years and years of planning going into it. You know?
I get it. It's all coming together now, Maroon, because it was last year or was it the year before where you said that you lost a bet and you were going to put on a Roosters cheerleading outfit and go out to a pub on the Central Coast and do the dance. Now, you haven't done that yet, but that's like the Badgerys Creek airport as well. But once you have the sex change, you're going to look so much better in that outfit and go and live up to that first bet that you haven't honoured yet.
Yeah.
Is that all part of the plan?
That is. But just remember, they've only won 3 in a row. They haven't won 5 yet.
That's true.
Was that the full audio? Were there any sort of terms and conditions around this that have been cut out?
Yeah, 100%.
Just as a journalist, I want to make sure we have the full story here.
See, about 1 second later, I said on the audio, obviously I'm joking. But they've cut that out. But I don't expect any favours around here, Em. You know what I mean? Some of the biggest bullies, like when you get those
Gordon
three together.
Tallis.
Yeah, Gordon Tallis and Paul Kent and James Hooper. They're just bully boys, you know, and I just won't toe the line.
Well, Maroon, in regards to waiting for the Badgerys Creek Airport with yourself, we're prepared to wait.
Okay, well,
we've got nothing but time, do we, Tony?
No, indeed. But I think you will make a very beautiful woman. Have a good call. It's a Saturday scrum.
The Triple M Saturday scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Tony Squires, Peter Sterling, Emma Lawrence, and the other man in the studio. I can't believe it's taken us this long to say this to Ryan Girdler.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Nice track there.
Thank you, Tony.
Birthday.
Thank you. You're in the... Yeah, sorry.
Are you
in
my own?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, well, we didn't know until just that very moment that it is your birthday. You didn't come in kind of...
I didn't have a shirt made up.
Oozing birthday vibes.
What's, no, I didn't.
Why? Are you a fan of birthdays?
Like my... well, I've had a few of them now, Tone.
Yeah.
How many?
48.
48.
72. It's my daughter's birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday, Olive. And it's kind of the week about her, you know, that age. And George, it's the cat's birthday on the 17th. So I just kind of, I fall to the bottom of the tree. He was 6. Happy birthday, George, if you're listening. I know you're a big fan of the show.
A little bitter.
I'm going to watch the Everton game tonight. They play West Brom. I'll be in the Premier League at 9:30. And my daughter's having about 8 or 9 little 11-year-olds coming over, and I've set the tent up in the backyard.
Oh, cute.
So they're having a little sleepover, so I'll just be kind of, you know, sneaking around, scaring them. I'm watching you. Like, at, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
And gifts this morning?
Anyway. Some gifts this morning, yeah, from the family, which is nice. Nothing as I turned up to work, but plenty of gifts this morning, yeah, at home.
I would have bought you I was going to say coffee, but you don't even drink coffee, do you? I would have brought you a sticky chai latte.
Your presence is enough for my birthday, Em.
Oh, sounds so sincere.
All right, we're going to come back, preview this game, the Manly taking on the Gold Coast. Also have a quick look at what's an interesting matchup, Harry Grant v Cam Smith. It's a Saturday scrum. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon, heading towards that key game for Maroon, Manly taking on the Gold Coast. Before we have a quick look at that, there, just looking at those number 9 Sturlo, in the Melbourne Storm Tigers game, it's the 5:30 kickoff. Number 9, Harry Grant and Cam Smith. It's great, looking forward to that.
It very much so. And I see it prompted Melbourne to basically say if they had their time again that Harry wouldn't be playing against him in regards to transfer players coming up against their parent club type thing. which makes sense. George Jenny, Daniel Alvaro didn't play against Parramatta, yep. and I think Melbourne would prefer if Harry wasn't playing in this game. But, yeah, well, I think Harry Grant will love this challenge coming up against his mentor. He'll be keen to impress everybody, but just to pit himself against the best and somebody that he's learnt from. So it's a nice aspect of that game for sure.
Looking forward to it, Em, your team, and Harry Grant running around.
I think the Storm will have them this afternoon. But, yeah, it's interesting. I guess it's probably different in the fact that with the loans for the Warriors, it was just the loan, but they did have that swap so with Paul Momorowski. So I guess if – who's injured at the moment, I'm pretty sure. So if – I mean, if they were both fit, then do you just have to sit them both out potentially? But I don't know if everyone realised how influential Harry Grant was really going to be. He's been – it's been fantastic this year, and I think he handled himself really well during the week. I was at that media conference and everyone was just hammering him, asking the same question about 10 or 15 different times about Cameron Smith to try and get something out of him, but just spoke so well and actually had a bit of a laugh and said he thinks he'll probably retire before Cam does. But, you know, it was just glowing in the way he spoke of Cam. But, yeah, for such a young kid, handled himself really well under that type of pressure as well.
And Stella, we spoke about a little bit earlier that Roosters Cronulla game that Mitch Orbison will lead. I think he's co-captain with Luke Keary tonight in his 303rd game of NRL, the most ever for a Rooster.
It's a remarkable effort, isn't it? It's such a great club, and to see him sitting on top. And it was nice to hear him say that Anthony Minicello had been in touch a number of times and was effusive in his support as to, you know, taking over that role. And Mitch Orbison, he's been wonderful. You know, he's what our game's all about. Probably doesn't carry the profile of other players, but if you speak to anybody who's played alongside Mitch Orbison, they'll say that he is important as any member in the team and was a key member in the success they've had lately, has announced his retirement, and he will be in the 17 somewhere on grand final day if they make it through.
Yeah, three premierships already in the bag for Mitch Orbison. Could well be a fourth. All right, the Maroon game, Manly Gold Coast. Gerds, what do you think?
Well, I've really enjoyed the last month of footy for the Gold Coast. I mean, if you think about it, they've won three in a row. We just spoke about the two they lost before that were against top eight sides in the Raiders and the Sharks. So, and they put in pretty good performances. So they're growing on a weekly basis. Plenty to look forward to up there. They're a little bit like the Penrith attitude, where they just all seem to be really enjoying themselves. They seem like a really tight-knit group, and see guys like young Ash Taylor developing and Holbrook getting the best out of him, and young Fogarty and the like. So Fuduaka's back again today. So I think they'll give Manly a fair bit of trouble through the middle, and I think they've got the players to test them on the edges, and they're playing with a lot of confidence, hard with Tommy back and what he means to Manly. But I think the Titans will win.
So good to see Tommy back in these last few weeks under his belt, obviously because of Origin as well. So you might think, okay, Manly out of finals contention, but for Brad Fittler, he'll be watching very closely over the next couple of weeks with Turbo back.
Don't care that there's no finals involved. This is all about Tom Trbojevic and really about Anthony Maroon, and I'm hoping that professionally he'll come through and call this game in an unbiased manner and we'll be sitting alongside him making sure that he does.
He would never do that, ever.
I can't wait to hear that call. Don't go anywhere. It will be the call of the season. Stick around. Thanks for your company today. Remember, Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.